You're listening to Vulcan Has a Faith, the audio podcast about New Birmingham and the people making a difference.
Hi, everyone. Today we will be interviewing one of my friends, Michelle Maha. Just to tell you a little bit about Michelle. Michelle is a mother of two young boys. Michelle is married to Julian Maha. And her husband both are the founders of an international nonprofit, Culture City. Also, Michelle is an associate professor of pediatric critical care at UAB, Department of Pediatrics and Children's of Alabama. She is definitely an advocate in the community, a runner, and that's actually how I met Michelle. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
I want to just kind of introduce you on a personal level. Tell us a little bit about your childhood and maybe how your parents molded this wonderful woman that we have today.
Wow, my childhood. You're bringing me back to time. So I grew up in a fishing village. It's in the island of Borneo, and it's East Malaysia, so it's part of Malaysia, which is in Southeast Asia. Growing up, we grew up, I think, surrounded by poverty and sort of an environment where there's really lack of fundamental resources like food, water, mm-hmm. education. I was very blessed in that I have an amazing mom and dad, and I have one sister. They are both teachers, and my dad traveled. We moved every 3 years, mm-hmm. In part related to my dad's job with the school system. But I think growing up, my mom especially, she had always enforced in me that there's nothing that I cannot do. I grew up with the mentality of there's nothing that's impossible. And right. if there's a challenge and there's a barrier and I fall, I'm not allowed to quit. I have to stand up and keep going. And I think that was really distilled in me from very young, you mm-hmm. know, because as a minority in Malaysia back then, it was not easy to be to get the kind of education that I would need to be a medical doctor. So we've had to go through a lot of different biases and challenges in order for me to even get to college and then to medical school.
Right.
And I think really it was sort of the belief that my parents had in me that really propelled me and forced me and pushed me to be the best that I can. And I think I've carried that with me all this time.
You know, that brings me to something else, listening to you talk. Would you say, especially being female, would you have to overcome some challenges wanting to become a doctor? And that's why you are so resilient and persistent.
I think definitely. I think, you know, it's interesting because when I look back into my career and I can, you know, think about the people that have influenced me, I think one thing that's always been lacking in medicine or in a lot of different spaces of careers, I think, is mm-hmm. that role model, that female role model.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I've been very fortunate that I've had amazing role models in my life. And I think as a female, I think it's so important for us to encourage those who are coming after us mm-hmm. to show them that it can be done and you can have a family. I think that was one of the things that I had to sort of find a balance for, you know, whether can I have a family, be a mom and love my kids and my husband, and at the same time have a very successful career and find the balance between the two. Because the perception has always been that, you know, if you want to be really successful in medicine, for instance, and you're climbing the academic ladder, that you're single, or if you have a family, you don't really spend a lot of time with your family. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's true. I think you can have both, but it's a matter of finding the balance.
Absolutely. And I have to add, I think that you do it well. I don't understand how you do it all. So that brings us to my next question. Outside of work and family, what do you enjoy? What does Michelle enjoy?
So you kind of said it in the intro because that's how we met. So I enjoy I enjoy food. And then next to food, I enjoy running. But really, I enjoy food first. But
and that's why you run, because you enjoy food.
That's right. Yeah. There is that.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny that you bring up food, because that's my next question.
Oh, yeah.
What is your favorite food?
That's a really hard one to answer, I think. I love any kind of food that is tasty.
Yeah.
I love to explore. There's not one kind of food that I won't eat. I mean, I may pause, but I will always try it. And then if I like it, I'm going to love it. And
right.
if I don't, I move on.
There's no gray areas with food with you.
There's no gray area. I will try anything and everything.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll have to go out to eat, because definitely. I'm a foodie too.
Yeah.
I want to try to get into the next part of the interview with finding out more about the different things that you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Culture City. I want to talk about you and the community. One of the things I want to talk about is your work.
Yes.
And what do you do? Tell us a little bit about on a day-to-day basis, from 8 to 5, or whenever you work, what do you do?
So I'm a pediatric intensivist, which unfortunately doesn't mean 8 to 5. It's a very sort of strange and variable schedule. So I am a pediatrician, but mm-hmm. I'm also an intensivist, so I work in the pediatric intensive care unit.
Wow.
When I'm on service, so on clinical service, it's Monday to Monday, and you're pretty much on 24/7. But
wow.
there's usually, if you're doing an overnight call, then mm-hmm. you stay overnight in the hospital. But if not, I'll have my other colleagues or other intensivists who will cover the night for me, where I can go back home and then come back again the next day. So as a pediatric intensivist, I take care of all the critically ill children that comes through our hospital. Mm-hmm. So that can be anything from, you know, viral infection, bacterial infection that requires more kids who get those infections who require more support, like being on a mechanical ventilator, or if they have, you know, shock or blood pressure issues where they need inotropic drips, or if they have traumatic brain injury, really the whole gamut of illnesses or condition that is considered critical and requires more intensive care.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that with my clinical service time, but I'm actually an NIH-funded scientist, and so what that means is that I have my own lab. Mm-hmm. I'm a translational researcher, so I have my own lab, and there we do experiments that's for my lab specifically related to lung inflammation and protease activities. Wow. And viral infection. And we have done, so our work is primarily focused in that area, but it's translational in that we're also sort of bridging that back to the patients, where mm-hmm. now we're doing a clinical trial using some of the findings that we have found in mm-hmm. our in vitro and in vivo studies to kind of, with this particular child, to look and see if there are certain ways that we can modulate lung inflammation during RSV infection.
Awesome. Well, I wish you luck with that.
Thank you.
I guess one of the things, too, while you were talking that I was thinking about, with you being a pediatrician
uh-huh.
and you being a mom,
yes,
does that just really make it so much easier for you to have that nurturing spirit?
I think it's easier and it's harder.
Mm.
I think the part that is perhaps easier, maybe that, I think it's actually harder. I don't know if I would say it's easier. I think it's harder because when I see, you know, I've always loved kids.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
I've always been very comfortable with kids, because I think maybe I'm a big kid myself. And so I've always been very comfortable hanging out with them and playing mm-hmm. with them and so forth. But, you know, the kids that I see are critically ill. So a lot of times they're on the breathing machine. They are on dialysis machine. They might be even on ECMO, which is a bypass machine. And so these kids are not going to be ones where they can interact with you like a typical kid would, because they are critically ill.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it harder, I think, as a mom, because a lot of times I can see my child. Mm-hmm. I can see myself being in the family's position. But at the same time, I think what it has allowed me being a mom is sort of that level of connection mm-hmm. that I don't know if I would have if I wasn't a mom. That when I talk with this family, when I converse with this family, when I give them the diagnosis or the news, whether it be good news or bad news, I have a level of connection with them that I think I would not have if I wasn't a mom.
Simply amazing.
Yeah.
Will you tell our listeners about your K08 grant for your Matrix project?
I love how you say it, K08. So it's a K08 grant. It's a NIH. It's an NIH grant that supports young investigators. And so, yes. And so it's an award that I got to study matrix methylproteinase, which is a protease that is important in lung inflammation. Wow. So the goal of that research project is to look at matrix, so MMP is what the short of the long word is MMP, but MMP-dependent inflammation and seeing what are the implications of it during viral infection and acute lung injury, and if there are certain ways that we can modulate it or change it. And so it's been a really cool project. The NIH K08 is what funds my lab at the moment mm-hmm. For my basic science part of the research.
So, Michelle, you got some exciting news for us. Tell us about KC-FIT.
Wow. So KC-FIT is a platform that we kind of came up with really just April of this year. So me and Tiki Barber, a very dear friend and a huge advocate for children with autism, we were running the Boston Marathon. And so as we were running it and as we completed it, we realized, oh my gosh, it is so amazing to, you know, it's amazing, you know, Denise, you're a runner, so you know, it's, we love running.
Oh, yeah.
But there is a whole level of difference when you're running for a cause. You know, for us,
yes.
When we ran Boston, it was for Culture City. It was for all the special needs kids and all the kids with autism who wouldn't have been able to do it. And we were running for Lifebox, which is a program that it's an initiative where we give out boxes with Bluetooth tracking devices and QR codes and so forth mm-hmm. to prevent wandering near drowning. So it was such an amazing feeling to know that every mile that we ran, every single dollar that we raised
Absolutely.
Would go towards this program. So we kind of came up with this KC-FIT idea where the goal of KC-FIT would be to use the platform of fitness mm-hmm. and of health. And so on one hand, there is the activity. So like the running, the cycling, the yoga, the, you know, the CrossFitting. And on the other hand of it is the nutrition.
Yes.
And to use this as a way to really promote the message and spread the message of Culture City, the message of acceptance and inclusion for these children. And at the same time, engage these families. So then they would also become more active, like these children.
Yes.
You know, because a lot of times when you get a diagnosis, for instance, right, exercise or food is really at the bottom of your to-do list. You're thinking
absolutely.
About which doctor am I seeing, what therapy am I doing, and so forth. But then, you know, what we fail to realize is that this is really the foundation, right? Unless you have really good foundation of nutrition, of well-being, mm-hmm. It can potentially make these other therapies harder. Like if you're a child that's eating, you know, lots of high sugar-containing food, it's not going to be good for you,
right?
I mean, we all know that. But yeah. It's sort of using this platform to really push that message out there. And so the exciting things is that we did the Boston Marathon, and then we are now in New York City Marathon.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We have 14 runners in our team, including Denise.
Hey, I'm excited to be a part of it.
There you go. And then we have Suzanne Moore, for instance, who's going to be running the 157 miles. Like, oh my gosh, 157 miles.
Through
the Amazon.
Yeah.
For Culture City.
For Culture City.
I know. It's amazing. Amazing. Next year, we will have the Boston Marathon again, and we're going to have Big Sur. So lots of
great things happening going on.
I know. And it's, you know, this part of Culture City, I love as well, because this is really, you know, ties in with that my passion of running and of engaging the family in a different way, mm-hmm. in the fitness, nutrition, let's get healthy kind of way.
Absolutely. Well, what I'm getting from this is all about acceptance.
Yes.
And I love that. And yes. I really appreciate everything that you're doing for the city of Birmingham and internationally as well. Yeah. So, Michelle, if anyone wants to contact you, can you tell us how to do so?
So the best way to be involved with Culture City and to follow sort of all the different activities that's going on in the community in Birmingham and nationally is to go to our website. It's www.culturecity.org and follow us on social media. So we are on Facebook as Culture City and on Twitter. It's all the same handle. So if you just put in Culture City, you'll be able to find it. So we're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
And just as a side note to our listeners, Culture City is spelled with a K.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for stopping by today, Michelle.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vulcan Has a Fade. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud.